Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahavirayankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 30. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, her eyes were dark, asita, because of great suffering, or her glance was directed to Krishna, asita. Right, so in either way, because if she's looking at Krishna, then that will make her eyes will be dark, or because of the suffering that she has by not seeing Krishna, then her eyes are dark. Right? Giving up shyness, she then resolved that she must take the help of Krishna himself. Or she thought as follows, my brothers and others have decided to get me married quickly to an unsuitable person. Though Krishna is suitable, he has not thought about this till now, though he knows everything. Because he has perhaps some great attachment elsewhere, for I have heard that he is most attached to the gopis in Gokula. It is insignificant for my mother and others if I tell them that I will die without his accepting me. But it is significant for him that he hears that I will die without his acceptance. Since, being the pinnacle of good qualities, he accepts suffering because he cannot tolerate the suffering of anyone who surrenders to him, as in the case of Kubja. Thinking in this way, she gave up shyness and sent a messenger with a message. If he does not accept it, then I will give up my life. Right? So news travels around, right? Because Vidarbha is north of here. When you go up into Assam, that area, that's where Vidarbha is.
No, so Vidarbha is in Maharashtra, northeast Maharashtra.
Sure?
Yes.
Right now they're calling it Vidarbha. We don't know.
The problem is as you go up there, they have actually Rukmini's place.
Where?
In Assam. Well, it's just like, okay, here, have some fun. Where's Jayadev Goswami from? That's the whole point. Like, they'll say he's from South India, they'll say he's from somewhere else, also in Maharashtra, somehow or another they always get into the game. And he's from Bengal. They have a festival here every year in Bengal for it. You know, someplace, I'm not sure where, I think north of here, that they all get together, all the owls, bowls, and all that group. Sing Gita Govinda songs.
Because in Pandharpur, we have Vitthal and Rukmini. And therefore, Rukmini is
Bhashtan. From there.
They say, you know, because from, not from there, but from...
But then also in Los Angeles, we have Rukmini Dwarkadish. So does that mean she's from, you know, how you say, Palo Alto or something? Right, you know, how you say, she's a valley girl or something, you know, from up that side. No? that's the problem. Okay. Any case, she's not where Krishna is right there. Right? And the point we're saying is that news gets around, people hear, people talk. So that's the whole point, is that's the business of kings, is to know what's going on everywhere. So in the process, they also know about Krishna, and they know about his pastimes, because they're so qualified that even Narad Muni and other sages are coming to their place. And so in this way, then, she will go and talk to them, hear so many things about Krishna and like that. Yes? No? Wherever she's from. In this way, she gave up shyness and sent a messenger with a message. If he does not accept it, then I will give up my life. Dark-eyed means she was expert in at love affairs. Considering the situation, or deciding she should write a letter, she sent a trustworthy youngest son of a Brahmana priest.
What?
Yes.
I mean, she was young. What does it mean she was expert in love affairs?
Because love affairs is about rasa. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. How would she be expert in that? That doesn't make sense.
And you know anyone around here that does know? Is
no?
Sexually, yeah, so it's not about age. It's about the exposure, the training, the you know, like that. And you also have to remember she is Mahalakshmi, so that helps. You know, that helps. Yeah. And his standard training is that, you know, you'd be trained in the Dharma, Artha, Niti, and Kama Shastras. Does that make sense? So Niti, when you're smaller, as you grow up, then the Dharma Shastras come in, then, you know, more specifically, Artha Shastras, and then of a suitable age, then the Kama Shastras. And so that's what it is, because when you're saying about love affairs, then it's all about how you deal, how you interact, what are the rasas, what santaris go with what aspects and things like that. That's the science. So she'll know that aspect, you know. Being from the spiritual world helps, right? You know what I'm saying? Because nowadays we'll think expert at love affairs means all kinds of weird and strange things, right? But that's not expert at love affairs. That's expert maybe at sexual affairs. But love affairs means the interaction, the rasa, the affection. Does that make sense? So that's what they're expert at. Because we have to, despite the modern context and all that, girls fully think girls' stuff by the time they're 12. Before also, but I'm saying by 12, they can, with proper training, actually hold down a household. Nowadays, even though everyone's talking about, you know, empowering and this and that, but actually in the Vedic ages, at 12, they could run a house. Now they'll say they can't run a house. And who's going to say that, basically? The women. So actually, who's the one that's disempowering women?
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Because the emotional position of maturity is by a girl is hit when she's 12. Boys know. You know what I'm saying? Boys at 12, they're idiots. But girls aren't. Like that. So with training, then they're actually mature at that time. That's why it's always recommended the boy's older than the girl, because the boy matures in the, you know, emotionally later. Though his skills are very nicely developed. So that means when he gets married, he has an occupation, he can do all his different activities. But it's not until that little bit older age that he has the maturity to actually function in household affairs. Well, the girl at a younger age has that maturity. So he sees the Vedic actually has more understanding of the girl's nature. You know, though due to you know, the modern effects, then, they say they don't. But the point is depending upon the culture, depending upon where it is, by the time, at least by 12, many girls are actually factually sexually active in the modern world. You know, I mean, it depends where you are. We are talking from the Anglo-Saxon point of view. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that it's not an uncommon thing. Does that make sense? So, but they'll say, oh, but they're not mature enough and this and that because they've not been trained. So then what would be the advantage then in Kali Yuga means illicit sex becomes. See, in the Vedic age, they get married and then there's no problem. Right? But in the present age, no, then they go on to illicit sex. And because of that, and the boys not being trained, girls not being trained, they don't actually know, aren't very expert at love affairs. And so then nothing works out. You know? And so as they get older, then they get more pessimistic, and then it's actually harder for relationships to work, and then it never necessarily works out nicely. Right? So the modern approach is designed by Kali to actually bring out, you know, the age. because these don't work, intoxication comes up, all these other things. So, you know, it's just, it's the perfect field for him. Does that make sense? So that's the whole difficulty, is that proper training, then they know everything that needs to be done. Some can say, oh no, but what do they know? But the point is no, they can do all the different things, because the main thing is the emotional maturity to understand how people move, how people deal, what are the ways to respond and, you know, effectively influence the relationships and the tastes that are there. Does that make sense? So it is something that girls know inherently, but without training it may not be very scientific, or they may not actually understand the religious principles in which to apply that knowledge. You know, it's just like girls know how to catch boys, but the problem is that without understanding the religious aspect, they'll catch the wrong boys, wrong situations, wrong effects, like that. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So we're talking about that. We're not talking about... Love affairs can also include the sexual aspect, but it's so much bigger. You know what I'm saying? That's what's not understood in the modern scenario. It's just thought that's all there is in the modern scenario. But actually, it's way, way wider than that. Because the point is the emotional experience it doesn't have the foundation. And what's the meaning of the sexual experience? Right? It doesn't actually work nice. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, trying to eat a formal dinner in a bus station or something. You know, it's just not going to work. You know, it's like that. Yeah. Good on that one. Wow. This would have been a 3-day discussion a few years ago. Okay, see? Where everybody's, you know, getting deeper, so you can catch the thing quicker. Right? Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, upon reaching Dwarka, the Brahmana was brought inside by the gatekeepers and saw the primeval personality of Godhead sitting on a golden throne. Seeing the Brahmana, Sri Krishna, Lord of the Brahmanas, came down from his throne and seated him. Then the Lord worshipped him as he himself is worshipped by the demigods, right? Because the Brahmins then are considered the highest. Them as Kshatriyas, then they worship the Brahmins. And also in Vrindavan, as Vaishyas, they worship the Brahmins. So Madhu Mangal will be in a respectable position. But he's one of the boys, so they're all friends. But at the same time, is he has that position that he can give advice and everything. And the adults there, right? The elder gopis and them, they will take advice from Madhu Mangal even though he's a kid, because he's a Brahmin. Right? So the training he has, the knowledge he has, that's valued. That makes sense? The Vedic culture, everything starts much, much earlier. Because the knowledge you learn is actual, real knowledge. Like, it's just like, if we took, okay, let's say you take a college course, right? On, you know, in some occupational area. But you made you wrote it in simpler language. But the actual techniques and principles that are there will remain. You could teach this to 8-year-olds. People may say, not at all, but guaranteed. Anybody who's saying it won't work, then I guarantee you, any 8-year-old on the planet who's grown up in the modern age can outsmart them on anything to do with computers. Right? And we're talking, these are technical. It's like what we do, like you have, let's say, just as an example, we have like what you have, you work on Windows, right? But the thing is we do a few things with Windows. There's actually about 1,000 things Windows can do. So these 8-year-olds know how it works. Right? That's the point. They can understand it. So we can say whatever we like. That's the thing, is the modern age is prejudiced that you have to be older. What's the advantage of being older? Is that just like my mother will call an 8-year-old, the third grader, to fix her computer. What does it cost her? It costs her some cookies. That's what it costs her. The guy will come over as long as he gets cookies. Right? Now, if you bring in the guy who's, you know, in his 20s or 30s, that is his job and everything, what does he want? It'll cost you $60. Why? Because he has to maintain a family. The kid doesn't. You understand? So before, you know, how you say, America was built on 12-year-olds. No joke. Carnegie was 12 when he started all his business. All these guys who were young. I can't remember who it was, but one of these big admirals, Nelson or somebody like that. He was 12 when he took charge of the ship he was on. Like that. And the crew, who were all older people, they complained. Like that. And he put them in their place. He just told them, you stay downstairs then, and don't come upstairs. You come upstairs, I'll shoot you. And he meant it, and they knew it. And he took control of the ship. That means he was supposed to. You understand? So that's the thing, is that before, then this is how it worked. It did work at an earlier age. It did go to all these different things. You know, kids wanted to go off in World War I. They'd go off to the war at 16, 15. Because they'd want to. Right? But nowadays, then it's all said, no, they can't do it till they're older. Why? Because when they're older, then they'll be attached to household life. When they're attached to household life, now they have responsibilities. They have responsibilities, then they have to. You have a control of them. He has to work for you. Because if not, he doesn't get regular money, then he can't maintain his household. But the kid, he likes working for you, does. He doesn't like, he goes away. You know, what responsibility does he have except to get a new video game? Does that make sense? A new pair of, you know, Nike shoes or something. You know, that's about it. Does that make sense? So the unions push this. Otherwise, kids are working at much of it, but you have to make it all, then you make it, they have to stay in school. But 12 years of education could be taught in 6 or 8 maximum. It's just stretched out. If you look at the curriculum, you can see it's repeated again and again and again and again. Does that make sense? So this is what's going on. So therefore, at a younger age, they could do this. Then, therefore, even though he's a Brahmin, he's the youngest son of a Brahmin, Krishna, as a Kshatriya, they respect the Brahmins. And so for him to be sent by Rukmini means that he must be mature, he must be qualified. Otherwise, why would she send him? You know, if he was a kid that might get distracted by, you know, some kids playing football in the field or something, she wouldn't have sent him. Right? So he's good. So therefore, then, he's respected. And Krishna then shows the example by taking care of the Brahmins. So that's the position. The Kshatriyas respect the Brahmins. Right? Everybody respects the Brahmins. The Brahmins respect the Brahmins. Right? After the Brahmin had eaten and rested, Sri Krishna, the goal of saintly persons, came forward while massaging the Brahmin's feet with his own hands. He patiently questioned him as follows, right? So he first received him, then, you know, then he had eaten, rested, all these different things. Then you question about these things. Footnote 15. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Krishna appeared calm, avyagraha, although he was anxious within concerning the marriage. Massaging the Brahmin's feet, he then inquired from him. So he wants to know, but still the proper etiquette is there. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, since the Brahmana had the opportunity to be Rukmini's messenger, he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of all causes, right? Because he's a Brahmana, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll see the Lord. But the Lord is pleased, but because he's a messenger for Rukmini, then getting the favor of the goddess of fortune, therefore then he gets to see the Lord, right? Because we always worship Krishna through his internal potency. So getting the blessing of the internal potency, then we can see the Lord. So here, it doesn't matter. Even they're young, they can still see if you get the blessings of the internal potency. Somebody said, yeah. A Brahmana is the spiritual master of all the social divisions. Lord Sri Krishna, in order to teach everyone the Vedic etiquette of how to respect a Brahmana, immediately got up and offered him his throne. When the Brahmin was seated on the golden throne, Lord Krishna began to worship him exactly as the demigods worship Krishna. In this way, he taught everyone that worshiping his devotee is more valuable than worshiping him. Right? Who's saying that one? The one Vishnu Radhanam Param? Who?
Chitraketu
is saying that.
He was saying this when Parvati.
Oh, okay. What were you going to say?
Shiva.
Yeah, that's what Shiva's saying about
Chitraketu.
That's right.
It was said in that pastime. So Lord Shiva is saying that. It's because if you're a devotee of Vishnu, then that's good. But more important is being a devotee of Vishnu. So technically, if you're just a devotee of Vishnu, you're not really a devotee. Because that means then you're what's called, Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls Samanya Bhakta, ordinary devotee, right? But Sampradayak Vaishnava, then that's a real devotee because they've taken shelter of the Guru and the Parampara. So then being the devotee of the Lord, then that makes them real. Ordinary devotee means they accept Krishna to different degrees. The faith is there to different degrees. They have some worship and this and that. And, you know, that's nice. Your standard average, you know, how you say, faithful person, you know, will have that kind of aspect. But when it comes to actual, then that means we have to follow in the footsteps of the devotee. So that just keeps going. Like, I think, was that this morning or last week we were discussing about the importance of surrendering to the devotees, following in the footsteps? Yeah, I think that was on Friday or something, Thursday, Friday. So that principle is there. That's the main principle. Because that's how then you worship Krishna. So Krishna's showing, you know, how the demigods worship him. He worships the Brahmins because the principle is that it comes in the Parampara. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here you see Prabhupada's equating Brahmana and Vaishnava together. Right? Because he's representing Lakshmi, so he's a devotee. So that's the important element. He's a Brahmin, so culturally it's there, but even more than there, then is that spiritual aspect of then worshipping the Vaishnavas. Yes.
The Samanya Bhaktas, they carry the Chitpotansi, can they give actual Harinam and connect somewhere to Krishna?
I'm sure to some degree, but basically it won't be much, it'll just spark an interest or something. Means how, what degree that they have that kind of faith, and that's there. But Samanya means that they haven't necessarily taken up seriously the means there may be some aspect of association with devotees, but it's not necessarily that it's determined that determination themselves. Right? The examples given of Samanya Bhaktas are devotees born in devotee families, you know, the children, because until they themselves become serious and take initiation and things like that, then they become Sampradayak. But before that, they're devotees by association. Or those born in Brahmin families or Goswami families or these kind of things is that they're growing up in the culture of Krishna consciousness, but they themselves have not necessarily taken the seriousness about it. So when they do, that's when they become Sampradayak. Does that make sense? So when Bhajana Kriya is there, that's when you can say is now it's. Otherwise, then they have faith, but they'll also be doing so many other things. And when devotees are around, they're happy, but they also do so many other things. And they might sometimes at a festival do a little, you know, chanting or some sadhana, but the rest of the time not. So there's not a steadiness in the determination in devotional service. So that's where you say Sampradayak, because they've surrendered to the process. Does that make sense? So even if they're, how you say, not initiated, they are, you could say, in that line. When they're initiated, saying says now it's actually solidly Sampradayak. But other, you understand? Because these others, they can be around and not actually have an interest. So does that make sense? Yeah.
Following this line of servant of the servant of Vishnu, we keep our mind absorbed in thinking about our Gurudev and his teachings
right.
is the same that we think about Krishna and his pastimes?
You have one aspect is yes. Because it's like, I think it was Mexico City. That probably came for a program. May have been the first time he went there and that. After the program, then one lady, elderly lady, came up to him and asked, okay, you say about thinking of Krishna, the time of death, you'll go to Krishna. She said, if I think of you at the time of death, will I go to Krishna? So Prabhupada said, yes. So you have that aspect, but there's also the aspect that the guru is telling you to remember Krishna. So we should be making that endeavor also. Otherwise, it tends to be more sentimental. So the remembering the instructions are about being Krishna conscious. So the aspect is we're remembering the spiritual master and the instructions given by the spiritual master. That means we're thinking about Krishna, but we're thinking about the guru because he's the one giving the instructions. So you have both at the same time. So, yeah. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that the next three verses explain why a Brahmin is the best. The Supreme Lord said, O best of exalted Brahmanas, are your religious practices sanctioned by senior authorities, proceeding without great difficulty? Is your mind always fully satisfied? Right? So, in other words, he's performing his religious practices that are sanctioned by senior authorities. That's what makes one a proper Brahmin. Right? And so is that going nicely, right, without obstacles? Is your mind always fully satisfied because the Brahmin is satisfied? And because what's there to gain? You know the philosophy, you know things, whatever you're going to get anyway. You worry about it, don't worry about it. Does that make sense? Is that, yeah. So that's the point. It's just like the kid. Does he have to worry about lunch? By being in anxiety about lunch, is that what causes lunch? No, lunch happens anyway. So all he has to do is do what he's supposed to do and lunch will happen anyway. Right? So if we perform our duties as we're supposed to, then everything required for that will come along with it. That's just how material nature arranges it. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, different classes of people in the social system are engaged in various professions. And when one inquires as to the well-being of a particular person, he should do so on the basis of that person's occupation, right? This is Manu. Manu says like that. The Brahmin, he asks about their religious duties, the Kshatriya about, you know, administration, are the people being, you know, protected and all that's going nicely. The Vaishya about prosperity, how well he's doing and all those kind of things like this. The Shudra about his health and everything like that. Yeah. So, because these are the things that are dear. Or if you know that this particular thing, then you get into detail about that or, you know, because if you discuss that, then like, therefore, one who inquires as to the welfare of a Brahmana, the question should be worded according to his condition of life, so as not to disturb him. A peaceful mind is the basis for becoming truthful, clean, equipoised, self-controlled, and tolerant. Thus, by attaining knowledge and knowing its practical application in life, one becomes convinced of the absolute truth. The Brahmana knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and still he accepted the respectful service on the Lord on the grounds of Vedic social convention. Because that's the convention. Krishna is playing the part of a Kshatriya. He's in the role of a Brahmana, so therefore the relationship goes on. Because it's just, you know, the proper etiquette that's there. Is that, yeah. Lord Sri Krishna is playing just like a human being. Because he belonged to the Kshatriya division of the social system, and was a young boy, it was his duty to show respect to such a Brahmin. Srila Jiva Goswami adds, Krishna first inquired with compassion. He inquired about the purity by asking if there was agreement with the ancient 12 devotees like Yajna and his present gurus. Are the duties not too difficult to accomplish? He does not ask if his duties are being performed comfortably without suffering. The intention is to indicate that the Brahmana should be able to perform his duties without intense suffering. It is understood the Brahmana has been successful. Does success not result from effort? even in not attaining results, he should have a satisfied mind. Because he knows results will come whenever they're supposed to come. You can't make them come any quicker. So then you'll be satisfied. You'll perform your duties, go on like this. Because if you don't, you get an anxiety, then we will only suffer. That's the whole point. It's the anxiety doesn't make anything go any quicker. Doesn't mean that that's easy, but that's the way it is. Like that. So that's why I ask here. Are the duties not too difficult to accomplish? Right? Means that there's going to be some difficulties. He's not saying, is it comfortable without any problems? No. You're in the material world. There's always problems. But is it, you know, is the problems within, you know, your ability to perform? Yes.
The other day we discussed that some people miss the opportunities sent by Krishna. And some people know how to catch the opportunities and advance spiritually and materially in that metta. So we see here, Rukmini, she is apparently creating her own opportunities for meeting Krishna because it's not happening, so she does it.
But she's seeing the opportunity and taking it.
But so from her family side, it wasn't available.
No, but as we mentioned, you have the aspect of prajapatya marriage.
Yes.
Which means she makes the arrangement and then the parents approve. Right. You know, we're not talking shotguns or anything here. It means that they can't. So she sees the opportunity that she can send a messenger to Dwarka and to meet Krishna, and then him hearing about her position, then he would be inclined to come. Like that. Because she, naturally, then your first thing is you're going to the family or make the arrangements. But you see, she's not going out on the street and just anybody who will come along. She's very specific. So in the Vedic system, when you say the girl makes her arrangement, doesn't mean she's out on the street. Prabhupada doesn't talk about that very kindly. Because then, who are you? This is very specific. She, through her offices, finds out who's good, then checks things, and then starts to make arrangements. But that means she's trained. Just like to have a Swayamvar, the girl has to be trained. You can't just have any girl have a Swayamvar. Like sometimes it hears that, you know, parents say, oh, we thought we'd have a Swayamvar and all that and this and that. But the point is, unless they're so qualified, the girl, that they know what is a proper boy. Because otherwise they'll just go, who's cute or things like that. But that's not, you know, it's like Nala and Damayanti. That when, because he was the most beautiful person in the universe other than Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the most beautiful. And so that means male or female. That she was the most beautiful female. Right? So then, that means that even the demigods were interested because she would be more beautiful than even the girls in the heavenly planets. So then, when it was time for her Swayamvar, they all came down, because they all heard that she wanted to marry Nala, because she had already heard from the swan about his character and stuff like that. So then, swan spoke Sanskrit. You know, it's those ones that fly between planets, those guys, not the regular quacking ones in the pond. And so then, the ones that are on the lamps, you see the oil lamps? You see on the top there's a swan? Those guys. Like that. So then they all came down. And they knew that she wanted to marry Nala. So when she came out for the Swayamvar with the garland, they all took the form of Nala. Every last one of them. You know, each one hoping that maybe they'll, you know, because as demigods, she's not going to go for it. You know, does that make sense? So that's a trained girl. Otherwise, you know, who wouldn't want to have Indra or Vayu or someone as a husband? But no, she wanted Nala. So they took that form. And because it was there, she wanted to marry Nala, not a demigod. So she just kept going person to person, just kept looking at it until she found the one that blinked. Because demigods don't blink. their garlands don't fade, nothing. So when she found the guy that blinked and his garland was starting to get old because they were standing out there for a while, then she said she put the garland on him. And so, all the demigods, they were impressed, you know, because, you know, she was so focused, so determined. So they all gave blessings. Unfortunately, Kali Raj didn't. Right, so, yeah. So, that's the point, is that girls are qualified like that. They may do a Swayamvar, because you don't hear that all the Kshatriya girls are doing Swayamvars. It's these really, really qualified ones. Kunti, Draupadi, you know, Vidarbhi, like this, because they're the most qualified in the whole land. It means the whole of India is coming to their Swayamvars. Like that. You know, as Draupadi was the most qualified, most beautiful at the time, in her day, Kunti was that girl. You know, and at this time, then Vidarbhi is that girl. Is that like that? So it's a... So in this way, then it's a more of a unique thing. So then she can see, make the arrangement. It doesn't mean that, yeah, you know, she doesn't catch the pizza delivery boy or, you know, stuff like that. Yes. Well, it's not Brahma, it's not Daiva, it's not Prajapatya, it's not Arsha, it's no kidnapping, it's not Rakshasa. Generally, they didn't get into that by Paisach. It's not Asura, because guy's not paying money, at least to the parents. Probably a cross between Gandharva and Asura. That's if you want to categorize it. But technically, when they live together by mutual agreement, that's called Gandharva. Because there are things, oh, we want to check if it works. But that means you don't know what you're doing if you have to do that. You know, it's just like, let's say someone has no idea, has never driven a car, has no idea about cars. And so they want to buy a car, right? So then they go down to the dealer and say, I want to drive this car. How well is that going to go? Not well at all. So only people who actually know what they're doing in marriage life could do that, but they wouldn't do that because they know what to do. So therefore, if the mentalities are there, the charts match, all that, they would just get married.
Ceremony with the church, and this is like before God. Then other part of life is like we don't want to make commitment before God unless we know that it's going nicely.
Yeah, but what's the basis? What are they looking for that's going nicely? That's the thing. So then, since this, they don't know religious duties, so it can't be that. So it's not on the human platform. It just means emotionally and sexually they get along. You know, and nowadays with less training, probably sexually, because they're not going to be living together and not having sex. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody who's not married would agree to live together. Then what's the big deal? You know, the guy really loves how she microwaves a frozen lasagna. You know, like that. You know, it's just like no one else can do it the way she does it, or something. Sorry.
Also, for the sake that some guru recommended that the disciples, they get legally married and live for 2 years, and then only they do the Vedic marriage.
Yes, but they're married. See, the point is they're married. So it is that the mutual agreement, there is an official thing like that. So it is a marriage. So Prabhupada had said that in Los Angeles. Everywhere else, they just had the marriage ceremony, you know, the Vedic marriage ceremony. But in Los Angeles, he told them, be married for a year before. He married first, and then they would all break up. So he first told them, get legally married. So that means, in other words, they get legally married, then only they start associating and hanging out and living together like that. You understand?
If they would immediately get Vedic marriage, it would be more sin breaking that than just trying to live together. And is there that consolation?
You do have, because then you vowed before the fire and the brahmanas, the cows, the demigods, all this. While the other one, it's by that, whatever it is, the notary republic or whatever is the official that has to do it these days. It's like that. Okay. Yeah. And it appears that a ship captain actually technically is not legally able to give, but it's socially accepted, but it's not actual. So, yeah, go to the notary. They're the guy. And they try to explain things. It means they go through, they try to explain that this is something serious, this, that. They try to make it, you know, serious. Like that. You know, and if you're not into serious, then there's always Las Vegas. Like that. You go to the, what is it, the Little White Chapel, and what do you call it? Bring along Elvis, and you're good to go. Like that. You know, it would help a few drinks and probably a tattoo, and you're, you know, it's all happening.
Is there such a thing as engagement in the Vedic understanding?
Yeah, they have engagement.
It doesn't mean that they associate.
No. Engagement means that it's committed to get married. It's called vagdanam, like that. Brahmins do it by pouring water. Others like to do it by signing contracts. But Brahmins, it's pouring water, just to make it, get the record straight. But generally, traditionally, it happens just before the marriage, like 1 to 3 months before. You don't have the engagement and then wait for years. It's not considered auspicious. You have the engagement and then, you know, so soon as the, what do you call it, the Chaturmas is over, you know, the demigods are up and about, ready for your, you know, how you say, rituals and all that, then they'll have the engagement. And then within, you know, a very short time, then they'll have the marriage. It's a standard. You do the best you can. When you have mulechas and yavanas, you know, culturally, then you do whatever's going to work. But, you know, it shouldn't be said that it's okay, it's right. It's what they do. You know what I'm saying? But it's not the thing. I mean, what is it? What's the necessity? It's either going to work or not. You know, it's just like I'm saying for lunch. You know, you want this or you want that. You know, do you have to take it, put it on the plate, take it over your table, hang out with it for a little bit, look at it, pick at it, you know, like that, get up, walk around the table a bit, and like that. No, you either want that or not. So you can see by your mentality, their mentality, by the charts are good. Other people that you know say that, you know, they know the both of you and they say it's good. So then what's the problem? And this whole idea is no, but it's this whole other thing. No, it's not. It's a matter of if you have a good match, you put in the effort, it'll work. Because even if you have charts that are 92%, if you don't put in the work, they don't work. Like that. So the whole point is the effort has to be there. So mechanically, it's good. Same kind of background, same training, same values. There's the commonality like that. Astrologically, it looks good. You know, others feel that it's, you know, that know you feel it's good. Then what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? So you see each other like that. That's what the engagement and all these other things are for. You see, you talk a little bit. And if it's cool, hey, great. You know? Otherwise, they're going to do the, what do you call it? How many is it? For Vogue? 87 questions or... can't remember what, 84 or something, some kind of, yeah. They're not going to go through it, because if they want to sit and talk, yeah, then start, you know, how do they want to live? You know, where are they going to live? How much are they going to go to the temple? You know, things like that. What kind of money are we looking at? What kind of lifestyle? You know, what kind of lifestyle for the kids? How many kids? Are they going to have kids? You know, how are they going to train the kids? How are they going to discipline the kids? What are they going to be trained in? What school are they going to go to? Yes?
Oh, discussed at the engagement?
No, this is discussed before. No, this is discussed before. But I'm saying if they want to talk, this is what they should be talking about. And then the Wallas who, no, we want to spend some time and this and that, guaranteed they're together for 3 years, they'll never once ask these questions. Nothing. You know? So how do they know what to do? If you don't know what to do, it doesn't matter how much time you spend. It's not like I do not know driving, but if I sit in the car for long enough, then somehow or another, at least according to Hollywood, I'll be able to drive. No, they still don't know how to drive. Is that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is they're not going to ask these questions. They're going to talk about sex. They're going to talk about children. They're going to talk about these things. You know, who wants to talk about how you're going to discipline the child? What school they're going to go to? What kind of training? How you're going to deal with the child? How do you discipline the child? Are they going to talk these things? They do. Now, these guys are qualified to get married. And if they don't, they're going to have to get married anyway. Right? Because they have no training, so they have to get married. So only people who are not trained can not get married. And only those people who are trained should get married. Untrained people have to get married, but they shouldn't get married. You know, it's like the... You should not live, you should not die. You know, it's like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. What's the saying? Can't live with them, can't live without them. Yeah, so they're in that category. So it's a waste of time because people don't want to deal on this. But the modern culture is so scientific and so mature and so advanced. But no, this is the stuff. You can't talk this, then you're not ready for marriage. Like that. Because the point is you don't know the person. So what's the loss? You talk this stuff and it goes well, means you got a shot. And if you talk this stuff, it doesn't work, what does it matter? You don't know them anyway. This idea, no, you have to get to know, and then when they find out that it's not good, then it ends up as a mess. I've heard of so many. Where they get together and they kinda interact and they get attached and they think, okay, this looks serious, let's do the charts. And they find that the charts are terrible. Now what do you do? So that's the whole thing. You're supposed to check the charts first. Then if it's okay, then you do these questions. And if that's okay, then you do. But you have to really ask questions. You can't answer what you think is going to go. I've heard of that also. They have a list of the questions, you know, for the marriage board. And people answer the questions according to what they think others want to say. And then when you actually talk to them, it's totally different. You know, so that's the point. Cheaters and the cheated. But if they're actually sincere about it, then they'll be straightforward. Does that make sense? So you know, it requires maturity. And so as we see, then she had that maturity. And Krishna naturally has that maturity. He's the ocean of that maturity. So it works out. So, okay?
Yeah. In the Grihastha Ashram lectures, you mentioned that just to get that person, this person lies. You had to, at least after getting married, live up to that lie of yours.
Yeah, no, if you're going to say that this is the way I am, then you have to be that way for the next 30 years. You put on that show before marriage, then keep the show up for the next 30 years. Don't present any show you're not willing to keep up. You know? Like that. Yes.
And when you explain to the kids, especially the girls, at a younger age, some technical points like sex or whatever, what do you think? How technical you go?
But what's the necessity?
If they ask.
What age are we talking about?
9, 10. Because it's in the book. The prophet writes about it. They don't know the word.
You just say that intimate dealings, intimate physical dealings or something like that. You just go as far as you have to get to answer the question. Because if they have no concept, you only have to kind of give the concept of what's going on and then stop there. But when they get a little older, then more understanding will be there. In other words, when they understand, you know, the concept of boys, then you can explain more. But you still just keep it to subtleties. You know what I'm saying? The main thing for character training is all subtle. That's all trained from way when they're young. But even if they haven't been trained, older ones can be trained in that through just pointing out what happens, how it works. You know, if you don't deal like this, people just take advantage. And then more detailed than that, then the point is it's relationships, how you deal, these kind of things like that. That's the more. Does that make sense? How to deal, in other words, for the girl, how they should behave, that then they're in a position to actually domesticate the husband. That's the kind of thing that should be trained. Because that's generally what's not trained. In the modern society, they might talk about the sex, this, that. But the point is they never talk about these things. Because that's what you're using all the time. You know what I'm saying? Once you've had sex on every, you know, flat surface in every room of the house, then how many rounds of that can you do before that gets old? You know, so then you're down to how do you get along? How do you interact? So if they don't know that, then it's a waste of time. You know, because attracting a boy doesn't take a whole lot. Right? But maintaining it and everything, that takes more. So that's the whole thing, is that's what has to be done. So then what says she's expert in the, what is it? Expert at love affairs, then means that she knows that thing, because love means that affection, so that expression. So whether it's on the spiritual platform, the emotional platform, the intellectual platform, the sensual platform, does that make sense? The physical platform, that these are all different platforms of this. But the point is that the higher ones can be used all the time. The physical ones, then that's used less all the time. So so you explain how much is need to be, and once you get to the point where it's understood, stop there, don't go more. And as you ask more, then you can take it a little bit more. But as far as character, behavior, dealings, that you have to explain. Especially any bad behavior, why, what effects that's going to have later. You know, you don't do this, and later on your own children, then this is how it's going to be. You know, you don't listen to me, your kids won't listen to you. It's just the way it is. It's not, you don't say it as a thing as, you know, this is what's going to happen to you. Because then they don't care. It's just, that's just the way it is. You know, you can do what you like. You know? Does that make sense? When you're in this house, you do this. When you get out in your own house, you do whatever you like. But this is how it's going to work. So.
Wherein they don't see charts also.
In South?
They
don't see charts.
Below Vaishya, Shudras. Okay? But still, because of the training and, hardly I have seen any, all my growth there. I have hardly seen my whole family also, about 500 families like that. Hardly any breakup of marriage.
But who are they marrying?
Same.
So therefore, then with that same training, same culture. So in other words, the amount of chili that you're going to put in your pulihara is the same.
What did you say? I only have 500.
500. He was talking about, you know, in Forbes, the Fortune 500. He was talking about in communities in South, Vaishya Shudras, that they're not necessarily doing charts. But they marry in their communities, and there's not any problem. So seeing hundreds, like I said, 500, you know, marriages, they're all working. It's because Manu says they're equal nature. In other words, like I said, they're going to put the same amount of chili in their pulihara, like that. Right? And it's going to be red chilies, not green chilies, not black pepper. Right? And it will be tamarind rice. It won't be, you know, palau or, what do you call it? What's that, biryani. Right? You know, biryani and sambar? No. Yeah, you understand? So that's the whole thing. It's the same thing, the same way, the same nose rings, the same Mangala Sutra, the same, right? You know, because how do you start off? You start off with the little wart in the middle, the black string. And then every on regular basis, probably more, the girl would expect a little more often, the boys a little less often. You put little gold things onto that on a regular basis until it's all gold. Right?
Can we get more details on that?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're quite heavy, these things.
Even after the engagement, that 1 month to 2 months, that is the period for buying all those things.
Yes, yes. You have to be out buying gold. Yes. Yeah, so it's going to be the same thing. The designs of the saris, the designs of the jewelry, you know, how much jewelry, this and that. It's all going to be the same. That's why they can all get along. You understand? But, you know, higher communities, they would check that also. But especially Prabhupada's recommending, because being international and from different places, and without this, how do you know? Because the person's nice. But on day-to-day life, how they, you know, deal in the bathroom, whether how do they use the toothbrush, the toothpaste, how do they keep things? What do they do with the towel after they use it? Do they fold it and put it on the thing, or do they throw it on the floor? You know what I'm saying? So these are the things that make and break the whole thing, not because they smile and nice. Yeah, everybody's nice when they smile and they're nice. You know what I'm saying? You take the girl out to dinner, she's going to smile. You know? You know what I'm saying? You go into the bathroom, don't pick the seat up, pee on the seat, she's not going to smile. You understand? That's just the way it is. So that's the Indians are so smart. This one major problem they get rid of because their toilet doesn't have a toilet seat. You know what I'm saying? So it works perfect. So much better. The West is so much anxiety. Huh? And they don't wear socks. Yeah. Yeah, so there's no socks all over the house. And yeah. You know, stuff like that. You know, they solve so many problems.
They feel that it is contamination.
Sorry?
To wear slippers inside the home, it is contamination.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even in modern cultures, they don't. In Japan, you don't wear shoes in the house. A lot of cultures. I mean, even some places, just hearing the other day of some places. I mean, Middle East is like that, but also some places in Europe and
Russia,
you don't wear your shoes in your house. Like that. It's just standard stuff. You know, so it's, this idea is that, no, that's just an Indian thing. No, it's just like, you know, probably more of the planet doesn't wear shoes in their house than does. Right? Just as the loud minority. So, yes, but the point is because it's equal nature, so you can tell. Because all these questions, whatever I've said, is already known. If you're in that community, when you get married, you're going to have X amount of children, you're going to get this much money, you're going to have this much gold and ornaments and saris and all these things and this car. And that. It's just standard. Everybody knows. So you just do that. Then the husband and wife work very nicely together for these things. Right? He goes out and works like a donkey, and she encourages him to be a donkey. So it works nice. Right? So he feels good being a donkey, right? You know, that's the whole, that's the teamwork. Like that.
She holds the carrot.
Yeah, she holds the carrot, and you know, he does the donkey. No braying, but he can do the work, right? Work is good, braying, no. Yeah? So it's standard. But otherwise, for us, Prabhupada's recommend using charts, because otherwise, how do you know? But even you have the charts, we say without training, it's not going to work. It'll be difficult. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. You can have natures that are very compatible, but if there's lack of training, they won't get on. So. Anything else? No? Okay. The Supreme Lord continued, when a Brahmin is satisfied with whatever comes his way and does not fall away from his religious duties, those very religious principles become his desire cow, fulfilling all his wishes, right? So when he's not worried about the material facilities, but just focused on performing his proper duties, and he does that, and in a steady way, those religious duties become the cause for all getting everything he requires. Because artha comes from dharma. So if you're studying dharma, artha comes. It's not a matter of, hey, I've been doing this for 3 days. Where's the Mercedes Benz? You know, you just keep doing it. That's the, when you're committed that you're always, then it always takes, dharma always takes care of you. Was it dharma rakshat? Raksha, rakshat.
Dharma rakshati rakshita.
Yeah.
Dharma rakshati rakshita.
Okay, yes. That was. So you protect dharma, dharma takes care of you. An unsatisfied brahmana wanders restlessly from one planet to another, even if he becomes king of heaven. But a satisfied brahmana, though he may possess nothing, rests peacefully, all his limbs free of distress. So that's the point, because it's this desire that creates anxiety. Like that. So whether you have things or don't have things, if you are satisfied, then you, however much you have or however little you have, you'll be peaceful. And if it's about desires, you're always restless about desires, it doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have, you'll still have the same anxiety. The billionaires still have the same anxiety for money and facility as the poor man on the street that's coming door to door and knocking on your window at the car. Right? Same. So that's the point, is that an unsatisfied person can never be satisfied, and a satisfied person is always satisfied. Yes?
In the story of Gopkumar, we see him simultaneously being satisfied and unsatisfied at the same time. So
but he's satisfied with whatever comes by his endeavors.
Right.
But he's unsatisfied because he sees that the taste that is there from the performance of the purely spiritual duties is greater than whatever other experience he's getting from the performance of his duties. So then it's a matter of moving up until he gets to the point where he's performing his duties in line with Braja Bhakti. Then at that point he's satisfied. So you want to get him to match. Performance of religious duties and pure devotional service. Those match, then it works. But if it doesn't, then even though one's doing the right thing, it won't still be quite satisfying. Right? Or if he has the right attitude but's not performing the right duties, there'll be some lack. So then performing one's duties properly and having the understanding that pure devotional service is the actual only thing that works, so you're trying to do your duties in line with that. And so even if you see as you have desires and all that, you deal with them by performing your duty. You don't get an anxiety about them because performance of your duty is what's going to cause the facilities. Does that make sense? Because the anxiety, even though, you know, how you say, to support that, then, you know, you're giving support to the person, but in actuality, results only come when they're going to. It doesn't mean we stop doing our duties or we don't have to do duties. No, we continue to do our duties, and then the results will come whenever they're supposed to. You can't. They won't come any quicker.
Because although we have faith in Krishna, somehow the first scenario the mind shows it's a negative scenario how it's going to unfold in terms of facilities.
Because we're used to that. Because remember, we have two basic viewpoints that we're used to using. One is the idealism. That, yeah, if I just put in the work, I can make it perfect. And then the second is pessimism, that even I put in the work, it still doesn't become perfect. So we have to get beyond those two mentalities. You know, to the point of, no, Krishna consciousness is perfect and complete. And so then that itself, just by doing that, then whatever is required we'll get, and that peace and satisfaction. So we'll get both, whatever we're looking for in karma and gyan, you'll get them both by devotional service. So that surrender to Krishna, that will actually gain those things. And then how it's going to come and this and that, that you just have to have faith, because worrying about it doesn't make it go any quicker. You know, it's just like they say, a watch pot never boils. It's not by sitting there and boil. It doesn't go any quicker. It just gets slower. Then it starts, boil. Then it gets even lower. You know, it's just getting slower and slower. You know, until you may go nuts from the, you know, Chinese water torture, you know, from the clock when it moves, chunk. Those are seconds. And then it gets slower and slower until you go crazy. Yeah. So it's not you don't do that. So you want to do your duty, or use your intelligence, how to do it nicely, and that, and then these other things will eventually adjust. You know, one's kind, one's compassionate, one's supportive of others, but actually this is the only method that works. So it's a balance, because the material world will never be perfect, but Krishna consciousness is perfect. So we can perform our duties, even though we know the material world is not perfect. We'll perform our duties, and we're not trying to make the world perfect, we're trying to be perfect in Krishna consciousness. Because if any perfection will come, it's from that. Prabhupada said 1% of the planet practices Krishna consciousness, you know, it'll be like, Satya Yuga, like that. It'll be good. You know, I'm sure that means nicely practicing Krishna consciousness. So what does that mean?
70 million.
Okay, we got a little ways to go. Yes. The attachment to the fulfilling of her desires, is that what causes anxiety or fear in that? Yeah, basically, because fear comes from not sure if you're going to get what you want, or not sure if you're going to lose what you have. That's where fear comes from. So when there's desire, then fear comes along with it. Fear, all these are all, how you say, not sure what you get along with it, maybe the sextuplets or something, and identical sextuplets, you know, when they're all born. So you have your material desire, and then, you know, how you say, distress and anxiety, and all, they're all born along with it, so... So it's part of a package. They all go together. You know, it's not written in the fine print, but it says it's there. Because people never read the fine print. You know, it's just like. So you know, when you're going along and they're telling you the contract, all the stuff in the big normal size letters, that's the stuff they want you to read, and all the stuff in the 6-point, you know, the real small one, that's the stuff they don't want you to read. So in there it mentions that. So we have to be very careful to know that that's how it goes. So when we surrender to Krishna, then these anxieties and that go away. And it's not about time. We say, well, when will it go away? Then it's still the same problem.
So when things are seen in clearer, is that a symptom of becoming more surrendered?
You could say, yes, like that. But don't become proud of it or things, because then it will come around from the other side. Yeah. Okay. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, if he is even sometimes satisfied, then he can be peaceful. Or if he's constantly satisfied, asakrit, modifying both lines of text, though poor, he rests peacefully. By that satisfaction, he is free of bodily distress like trembling and mental distress like confusion. Chinta jvaro manushyanam. Man's sickness is worrying. That's funny. Man's disease is worrying, right? You never see dogs worrying about anything, right? Except chihuahuas. Somehow they're always doing that. But so if he's sometimes satisfied, he has some facility and he's sometimes satisfied, he'll be okay. Or if he's always satisfied, even though he's poor and has nothing, he'll be okay. So if you have stuff and are satisfied, then even better. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. This instruction by Krishna to the Brahmana is very significant. The purport is that a true Brahmana should not be disturbed in any situation. In this modern age, Kali Yuga, the so-called Brahmanas have accepted the abominable position of Shudras, or less, and still want to pass as qualified Brahmanas. See, so this is just the standard thing, like we were saying. One's attached to the modern culture, one tries to say that this is the same, and all that, so that's the thing. So the whole point is they're trying to pass as qualified Brahmins, that even though I'm not performing the Brahminical position and activities, I want to be accepted as one. So we see this as standard in Brahmin families in India, the Goswami families, anyone from, you know, more of a background where they worry about the kind of social status and all that. Basically, you know, your modern educated kind of background, they worry about, they want to be equal because it's all about equality. Remember, equity, fraternity, liberty. So, you know, they'll talk about these things. So equity is very important for them because they even though they don't do the same, they want the same. So the guy that works hard and the guy that doesn't work, as long as the guy that doesn't work wants it, then in the minds of these people, it's all equal. So then there's a problem. So this is an age-old thing. It's not a modern thing. People profess it as a new philosophical position and view, but it's actually very, very old. It's always been there. In this modern age means the whole of Kali Yuga. They think, no, today we're modern. Before, that's not. No, just Kali Yuga people do this. It is advised in the authorized scriptures that a Brahmana may, under awkward circumstances, accept the profession of a Kshatriya or even a Vaishya, but never is he to accept the profession of a Shudra. Lord Krishna declared that a Brahmana will never be disturbed by any adverse conditions if he scrupulously sticks to his religious principles. He follows his religious principles, he'll be okay. It may be difficult, but it's okay. That's why Krishna was asking. You know, is it not too difficult for you? Right? He didn't say, is it all, you know, fatty, you know, how is it going? It wasn't all that kind of stuff. Yeah, what is it? Jacob? Right? You had Jacob who behaved nicely, and then you had his brothers who weren't behaving nicely, but they wanted to be treated as equals. Right? Didn't work out so good. Right? At least for Jacob, right? But in the end, it worked out good for him and bad for them. So it's always been around. It's not a new thing. The Supreme Lord continued, I repeatedly bow my head in respect to those Brahmanas who are satisfied with their lot. Lot also wasn't very satisfied, right? So that's the whole point. He has to be satisfied, right? Right. Saintly, prideless, and peaceful, they are the best well-wishers of all living beings. Saintly, prideless, and peaceful. The BBT purport mentions, Sridhar Swami explains that Swalabha also means achieving oneself, or in other words, self-realization. Thus, an advanced Brahman is always satisfied with his spiritual understanding, never depending on material formalities or facilities. Right? It means he's satisfied with that. It's not that he needs some material recognition to think, oh, this is good. Does that make sense? So, in other words, we accept from the scriptures, from the acharyas, that this is good. It's not that we need the karmis to do it and then say, oh, see, now it's good, yes. It means they're always satisfied. So they don't need these material formalities or facilities. Right? They are satisfied and fixed in Krishna consciousness just from their own performance of duties. The Supreme Lord continued, O Brahmana, is your king attending to your welfare? Indeed, that king in whose country the citizens are happy and protected is very dear to me. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Lord Krishna then desired to know about the rulers, Kshatriyas, in the Brahmana's kingdom. So he inquired whether the citizens of the kingdom were all happy. A king's qualification is judged by the temperament of the people in the kingdom. If they are happy in all respects, it is to be understood that the king is honest and is executing his duties rightly. Krishna said that the king in whose kingdom the citizens are happy is very dear to him. Of course, Krishna could understand that the Brahmin had come with a confidential message. Remember, Krishna wanted to know, and he was anxious to hear that message. Therefore, he said, if you have no objection, I give you liberty to speak about your mission. Right, formalities, he's asking these things, just, you know, this is the proper etiquette, and then now, you know, then if you, I have nothing more, you please, you know, speak about what you like. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, the king who protects the citizens is dear to me, or dharma is accomplished. Is accomplished by brahmanas who are protected by the kings. Is there assistance from the king so there is no danger for you and your relatives? O Brahmana, by your welfare, the Vedas are safe. Since you are directly the Vedas, he means only or certainly. Right? So why are the Brahmins protected? Because they represent the Veda. Right? They directly then understand the Veda, teach the Veda, practice the Veda, teach others how to practice. That's the importance of Brahmanas. That's why then administration takes care of the Brahmins. That's the business. You know, all Vaishnavas are Brahmins, so then all Vaishnavas are taken care of, but especially then the aspect of those who are practicing this and training others in this. So, right there. The Supreme Lord concluded, whence have you come, crossing the impassable sea, and for what purpose? Explain all this to us if it's not a secret, and tell us what we may do for you. Footnote 16. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, he asks if it is a secret out of politeness. Please tell me what I can do for you. This expresses his affection for the Brahmana. Right? So you always have to also, you ask a question, but if it's not improper to ask, or if it's not improper to say, you know, or if you feel, you know, that's appropriate to speak, you know, if you have no objection, then you can speak all these things. Not that I demand and you have to say and you have a message for me, so you have to tell me. No, none of this kind of stuff. All this kind of, you know, I have rights kind of problem has a problem, because then it's about your rights and everybody else's obligations, but never about your own obligations. So here, as we saw, according to the Veda, you have an obligation that if you're going to inquire from somebody and ask about their welfare or themselves, it has to be in line with the nature of the person that you're talking to, right? What kind, so therefore, where they'll feel comfortable in the conversation. So if your talking makes them uncomfortable, then it's not actually appropriate. Does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami, thus questioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who incarnates to perform his pastimes, the Brahmana told him everything. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, he was asked by the Lord who had all knowledge. The cause of the Lord asking is that he manifests a human form for human pastimes. The cause of the Lord's asking is that he manifests a human form for human pastimes. Or, he has a body served by pastimes. This means he is absorbed in pastimes by his own will, since the pastimes are so wonderful. Right? So by his will, they're going on. By his will, you know, he's absorbed in them. The pastimes are serving him. The Brahmana directly described his execution of Dharma and his purpose in coming through Rukmini's words in the following verses. Sridhar Swami says that he simply delivered the letter as it is described in verse 44. There are three types: Amritartha, self-appointed; Nishritartha, appointed; and Patrahara, message bearer. The message bearer simply carries a message expressing the love of one member of the couple. The Brahmana acted mainly in this capacity, right? Because he wasn't self-appointed or appointed. He came with a message. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difference. Because these other two is that, you know, say Radha and Krishna, there's something there, and one of the gopis steps forward to say something. Because they know the mood, they know it should be said, they said it. They haven't been appointed to do that. Or someone else's, you see sometimes, and oh, is it the best time? Not sure the pastime, but then all the gopis come there, and Radharani's hiding in a kunj. So then she tells, I think, Lalita or someone who's with her, you go out and talk. She doesn't tell her what to say, just says, you go talk. So that's appointed. And then this message barrier means, then you tell them, give this message, and then they go and carry that message. So you have these three.
Uddhava is in the third.
Sorry?
Uddhava will be in the third.
Yes, Uddhava is in the third category, but you see, it's because he's intelligent. When he gets there, then he's been appointed too, and he also sees the need, what is necessary, so it's not just the message. So he sees that when I talk about Krishna, they feel better, so then he decides to speak about Krishna. So he was sent from as the third, but you see the other two he performed. Yes.
Other than for like Krishna and Rukmini, would it be proper to ask Brahmana to carry love letters?
Means, but this is, he's working in their capacity.
Other than for the Lord's pastime, but
would it be? Yeah, but what kind of, we haven't gotten to 44 yet. I don't think we will get. But when you hear the message, then one can understand. This, these can be. Yes, but the point is, this just depends. Do you have Brahmins that are working with you, and you know you're taking care of and seeing after their welfare? And so, if not, then maybe not. But if you are, and they're known, they're like family and that, then they can do. But if they're just somebody you know, then maybe not. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, this is all for those who have that culture, who actually have close friends and associates and confidence and things. Then so many of these things can be done. If you don't have them, then these don't have really much meaning. Right?
Except with me, everyone wants her to get married to Krishna.
Yes, yes.
So Brahmana is also, they also know, like when Krishna comes from the region.
Oh, so, so the Brahmin would like to see this also.
Yes.
So he's making the point is that the rest of the family is, you know, prefers that, and so he being in that group, then he would also be interested to see that it works out this way. You know, in other words, he's a well-wisher of the family, and specifically, you know, with Rukmini, you know, like that. So then they're working in that, they have that kind of relationship. So it must be that Brahman is one connected with the family. You know?
In fact, the entire kingdom is desiring that Rukmini and Krishna should get married.
The entire kingdom?
Kingdom, yeah.
When Krishna comes.
Okay.
When Krishna comes, everyone says, actually, he should get married.
Okay. Yeah. So then everybody's thinking. So he's just going along with what he's. He feels like that, but he is representing Rukmini. Right? So he being a message bearer, he does that. If he just says, you know, if she just said, go and tell Krishna like this, like that, then he'd be appointed, and then in his own words, he'd work out, seeing the mood, everything, then he'd speak. But here he's been asked to give a message. So then he comes in the capacity of message bearer. which then is pointed out that that's how mainly he acts. Right? The message bearer simply carries the message expressing the love of one man of the couple. The Brahmana acted mainly in this capacity. You know, so he might do some other aspects, but that's mainly. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that Sri Rukmini expressed herself in the next seven verses. So the next seven is the full message, but Sridhar Swami says that the 44th verse is the specific message. Right. Goes on for a while. Okay, so the 44 is, this is the confidential message I have brought with me. O Lord of the Yadus, please consider what must be done in these circumstances and do it at once. That's the main point of the message. You know, all this has been said, you consider what should be done in these circumstances, but it should be done immediately, if not sooner. Right? In other words, the pleasant way of saying yesterday. Yeah, I don't know if it won't really work to get it, because there's the whole discussion here. So if we open this, then it won't.
Satisfaction.
Basically, I mean, you might have from previous, but it comes from training. And then if you've been practicing that training for previous lifetimes, in this lifetime you might see it's inherent. But without that further cultivation in that, it may not continue. Right? But otherwise, all these things can be developed by practice. In other words, the character that's there, especially what's recommended for the Vaishnavas, that's simply by the performance of devotional service and being aware of these positions, these qualities. You know, so when you perform your duties, you try to follow them, simply because it's said that this is what are used in devotional service. I'm not thinking that, you know, being, let's say, satisfied is an important thing on its own, like a yogi or, you know, somebody like that might think. But this is that satisfaction is important devotional service, because then I'm satisfied that I surrender to Krishna, and however Krishna arranges things, then everything will be nice.
So we'll understand Krishna's the controller.
Yes, Krishna's the controller.
And then
yes, we perform our duties and then the result will come. It means we're performing our duties and we know what result should come, so we're performing in that direction. Right? But when that result will come, how it will come, that's up to Krishna. That we can't control. So,
Maharaj, you brought this morning one example about the devotee that was worshipping the deity and asked for service. And then immediately someone come and, could you help me? And the devotee didn't hear. So we are trying to attract Krishna. As a person, we consider him as a person, as Bhagavan. So in this situation, we could say that it's a relation directly with Bhagavan.
Which?
This devotee that Krishna gave the opportunity for service immediately.
Yeah.
Pray, and then
Krishna
comes.
Gives, and then we, then that just, yeah.
I
means we're praying for, it means what we want, and if it comes without asking, we should take it. Like if you're hungry and someone comes along and asks you, you know, hey, I have some prasad you want, take it. Mm-hmm. Don't not take it thinking, oh, I'll get something else later. Because guaranteed that later will not happen. Because Krishna already sent the prasad. You didn't take it, then later there's nothing.
But this is Bhagavan aspect. I mean, I'm trying to make some difference Paramatma and Bhagavan.
But the point is who is... We're dealing with Krishna as a person, but at the same time as we're praying, you know, it just depends upon what is our mood. If we're dealing with Krishna actually as Bhagavan, then he is Bhagavan sending. If the point is it doesn't matter, because it's Krishna, even if he's sending through Super Soul, it's him doing it. Paramatma is Krishna. It's just a matter of how we see it. Krishna will reciprocate as we surrender. Right? So if you see Krishna as Paramatma, then he'll reciprocate that way. But it doesn't matter. It's all Krishna.
I'm just trying to understand.
So it's not like saying, you know, two people come up and, well, I won't do what you do because Paramatma sent you, but you, I'll do what you do because Bhagavan sent you. It doesn't exactly work like that. And you, you're just Maya, right? Point is, Krishna's in the heart. He's seeing. Krishna's the deity. He's there. So however you deal with him, is he'll reciprocate. You want service, then he gives you the opportunity. So, because there's always opportunity to do service. Maybe not always the service you want to do, but, you know, he gives opportunity to do service. Yeah? You'll think about it. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.